Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study. Would you bow your head in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for a place to meet, people to preach to, and we just pray for those people that are not here today. We just pray for safe returns from wherever they're at. We pray that the Word be edified to the saved people in here, and if there's someone that's lost, that they trust the Lord Jesus Christ today. We just thank you for the body of Christ, for all the mysteries in this period. We just thank you so much that you're an almighty God, and we're just sinners. It's your mercy, and that's what it is. We're saved by grace through faith, and it's just wonderful to know that in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And we want to remember Betsy again. Like I say, when you go to your prayer closet, please remember her. She's in dire straits right now. And we all have our own problems, but some problems seem to be more pressing than others. And we need to be praying for everybody in this room. And you definitely need to be praying for me to deliver messages. I mean, sometimes people don't do that. You know, Paul asked. He asked people to pray for him. Why? So the word would be edified. So he'd have the strength enough to go out there day after day after day facing adversity. We don't face any adversity compared to what Paul did. Who's thrown stones on you lately? Who shot you lately? In today's modern terms, it would be somebody taking an M16 to you. You know, who's going to kill you? I mean, who's going to... just matter, do you have to sneak out of your own house like they had to let him down over a wall in a basket to get away from everybody that's crazy? Even though the United States is getting pretty bad, we don't have those kind of problems. It's the best time to have ever lived in the history of mankind, but it's the best time to have ever preached the gospel of the grace of God since the Apostle Paul started it. No threats. People just call us hypers and crazy and cults and those kind of things. They just don't know what this Word of God says, or they'd be jumping on the bandwagon to learn more about it. The will of the Father is what? That all men be saved. They've talked about that. The second half is coming to the knowledge of the truth. And there's a lot, too, coming into the knowledge of the truth, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. But first, I want to make one comment on what Dave said. I love this. And I'm just going to read it as he had it. It said, it is the highest of honor to serve God as His representative in this world. And you might think that's only for me in here as the pastor. But it's not. We're all ambassadors. So take it to heart. It's the highest of honor to serve God as His representative. His representative is an ambassador, and that's exactly what all saved people are. Consider it the highest honor on the face of the earth. It is. There ain't no doubt about it. There's nothing more important than that. But do you yourself consider it to be the highest honor that can be bestowed upon you? I consider it that. I really do. Hopefully you will. But what are you doing with it? Are you setting your mind on heavenly things or earthly things? Now, I want to read this, and this may be all we do, I don't know. But I'm going to talk a little bit about it. Anybody remember Gene Autry?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, Gene Autry means...
Probably don't remember.
I was a member of Sky King fan club, the Roy Rogers and Dale Evans and Gabby Hayes and Gene Autry and Tono and along all those things. And you know, you can't get that anymore.
How about Annie Oakley?
Annie Oakley. Oh yes. Oh yes.
We'll forget her.
You just can't. You know, and they do play. It was on Mayberry, Andy Grifter. They play his at some churches and some seminars. They play those 30-minute shows because of the values they portray. And really, that's what I'm trying to say today is Gene Autry had a cowboy code. Did you know that? Have you ever seen it? We're going to talk about it. Gene Autry's cowboy code. You know, Gene Autry owned the California Angels. Gene Autry, and this is not trying to build a man up, because really, he was I don't know if he made it to a billionaire, but he was a multi-millionaire, and I never heard anything negative against the guy. So he lived by this code that we're going to be talking about. And I believe we should also. But because when you get through, you're going to see this is based on biblical principles. It really is of how these men lived. But Gene wrote that the number one, I believe it was the number one Christmas song of all time. What was it? Do you remember, Jim? Was it Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I'll get it right. But, yeah, he wrote that song. Can you imagine if just one of us wrote that? We'd have the biggest conference you've ever seen. But anyway, I want you to start. There's 10 things. This is not Gene Autry's top 10 list, as David Letterman said. This is just 10 things that you need to think about. The number one, the cowboy must never shoot first. You never did see the good guy in a white hat shoot first in any of those films. Never. Hit a smaller man or take unfair advantage. Now, I remember that. Even in high school, the big guy wouldn't go over and beat up on the little bitty guy because everybody else would frown upon it. We shouldn't do that today. I'm not talking about physically. We just shouldn't do that. I mean, there's some good biblical points. Or take unfair advantage. You can take an unfair advantage of people. You know, usury, the Bible talks about not to do that. Usury is an unfair advantage on an individual. I watch it today in society. I live out there specifically up in Op, where it's a small, poor town. And there's a store here, another store here, and you turn here, and there's another store over there about bring your title in to your car. You drive into the state of Alabama on the left-hand side. Bring your title. So what they want the title of your vehicle, your RV, your boat, or your motorcycle, and they're going to give you some money. Well, before it's over with, it's called usury. There's no doubt about it. Loan sharks. I remember that. That really existed in my home because my dad had to borrow some money. And I don't guess he ever got it paid for. He might have borrowed $50 and ain't no telling how much he paid for it over the years. You know what I'm saying? That's usury. So that's biblically wrong. But number two, he must never go back on his word. You ever went back on your word? Well, you know, what if Peter had went back on his word in Galatians chapter 2? After he shook hands. He shook hands with Paul, and Paul shook hands with him. They give him the right hands of fellowship, right? Said, yes, we understand that you're going to be going to the uncircumcision. You're taking the gospel of the uncircumcision to the Gentiles. Not to. And then we, Cephas, James, and John, we're taking the gospel of the circumcision, to the Jews. They shook hands on it. That ended it. That settled it. You don't have a handshake that will do it anymore. Men don't have... They don't mean anything when they shake hands with each other. That's just a trivial thing. Well, I'm going to sell you this piece of property over here. Shake hands on it. Until next week, and Jim comes by and offers Richard double what I was willing to pay for it. That handshake's no longer any good nowadays. That may be with y'all, but the majority of the people is no longer any good, is it? People don't trust each other anymore. So, you never go back on your word. Jesus Christ, what if, just think this, just think about yourself, and then think about me, and then think about the Lord. If you shook hands on it, back 50 years ago, then it was set in stone, set in concrete. Today, it's not. But what if the Lord, when He said that He was going to forgive me of all my sins, went back on His word? That separates mankind, doesn't it, from God? God does not go back on His word. He cannot deny Himself, and God is not a liar. Let every man be a liar, and we all are. I don't care how good you think you are. We are all liars. You all lied about something, and so have I. It may be a little white lie film, but it's a lie. And once that took place, guess what? You're always going to be a liar in God's eyes. That's what you are. And if you go over to James chapter 2, I guess it's verse 10, if you've offended in one, Richard, you've offended in all. So, if you're a liar, guess what? You're a murderer. A sin is a sin is a sin. My whole point is, never go back on your word, because God cannot, will not, it's done. Well, just think of that. What if He could? What if He would? We'd be in dire straits, wouldn't we? Now, number three. A cowboy must always tell the truth. Oh, gosh, we just got through talking about us lying. Must always. God does. Number four. He must be gentle with children, the elderly, and animals. You know, there's people. One thing that I just really despise and hate is someone who will. And this has happened. You may know somebody who did it. They'll take a cat, a little pet cat, and they'll tie a sack of rocks on the back of its tail and playing with it. And, you know, and then pour gasoline on it and set it on fire, and they'll cat or run until it dies or burns. People do that. They hang animals. They just kill them as a sport and leave them out in the woods. I hate that. I just as soon shoot a man for hurting a dog as I had for hurting another human being. I can't stand. God created these little animals that can't take care of themselves for us to take care of. If you don't believe it, you read Genesis and see what it says. He put mankind over these animals to take care of, not to abuse and beat up. So, there's just certain things that we shouldn't do. Just like children. How can you see, like that guy up there in Cleveland, you know, he's going to be going to the, I hope he goes to the death chamber. That guy that got those three young girls and raped them, had a kid by one, hit the other one in the stomach until she lost five children, I believe. So they were children whenever they were abducted, I believe, or close to it. The elderly, how many times do you see people abuse the elderly? I remember back many, many years ago, my ex-wife at that time, it wasn't Carol, this was a long time ago, one of her aunts, they kept her in the cellar. In the cellar. She was an epileptic. They kept her in the cellar because they didn't want anybody coming to that house and seeing her possibly having a problem. People used to keep people a long time ago locked up. And I, they were old. She was old when I met her. But the thing was, it's not only old people. It started as a youngster with that. And as people have done it ever since the beginning of time. They don't want you to see some kind of what they call inferiority in their gene pool, because it may have an effect on what you think about them. But just like if you go to a nursing home, and I hate to say it like this, but it's just really terrible out there. There's certain nursing homes that are really good, but in other nursing homes, people have got jobs. They don't have a calling to work there. And I'm going to tell you what, unless we all just die, sooner or later, we're all going to line up in one of them, okay? Right. So think about that, how the elderly is treated. I read yesterday, and I told you, what was I reading, Carol, when I was reading some kind of prescription medication last night that Carol's taking. Ultram or something, and I was reading, it says, to the elderly, anybody 65 and older, and I'm thinking, my God, am I elderly? Didn't remember that?
Yeah.
65 is elderly. What? Maybe I ought to be on a cane somewhere. I don't know. Farm me out. When I read 65 is elderly, I have problems with that. But I do realize there's other people out there that's in their 40s that are considered elderly. They can't move. They've had strokes. They're just... Yes?
We do get a lot of discounts in a lot of places, so just keep that in mind.
I love the discounts, Jim.
I know. You have to ask for them, but they're there.
Yes, and believe me, the way the things is in the United States, we need to take all we can. Number five. The cowboy must not advocate or possess racially or religiously intolerant ideas. Well, you know, I'm not anti-Semitic. I love the Jewish people. I don't love the Jewish people because Jesus Christ was a Jew. But the fact that it is, I know that they were at one time his chosen people. And I know again by the scriptures that they will be again at the Valley of Jezreel. And it's just going to happen. I don't have to bless a Jew today, but I still love the Jewish people. There's no doubt about it. Well, why not just love everybody? Is anything wrong with that? You know, the Catholic Church had a big, big hand in helping Hitler get rid of them Jews over at Auschwitz and various different things. And they apologized, that last pope, not the one we got right now, he apologized a few years ago for helping them. But let's just face it, the Catholic Church wants all of us dead if you can't be converted to Catholicism, just exactly like Islam does in jihad. If you can't be converted to Islam, they want you dead. So what kind of loving, peaceful relationship does that have to do with God? That's not my God that they worship. I can tolerate people who believe differently than me. It's just having to deal with it. And when I say that, religiously intolerant ideas, there's so-called Christian people in church this morning that have religious ideals that are intolerant to me, and they're calling themselves Christians this morning. The gospel that they're supposed to be believed, either they never heard it, or it's been what? Perverted. As in Galatians chapter 1. As Paul said. It's not that believers, these people that came behind Paul were not believers. They just weren't grace believers. They believed. They sure did. You got to be circumcised. Well, that perverted the gospel, didn't it? Of course it did. So that's what Paul says, that the gospel of Christ was being perverted by these people coming behind, these certain people out of Judea, following up Paul. Just like when we get through teaching here today, if I was to leave the room and one of you jumped up and started preaching that you've got to be circumcised for salvation, well, that's just perverting the gospel. So it's just very big out here today. Now, number 6 of a cowboy code of Gene Autry, he must help people in distress. Do you actually help people in distress? You know, distressed itself, something's wrong. Now, and I find it harder on a daily basis as I ride the roads, interstate or whatever, specifically to see somebody broke down outside of the road, whether it be female or male, to want to stop and help because of society and the way it is. It's not safe anymore. It just isn't. I just feel horrible about it. We were coming in from playing music one time, which we don't do now, but we were coming in from Andalusia one night on the Hope Road coming back over to the interstate from Hope. It's about a mile long there, and this car was pulled outside of the road. Trish and I, and Harold that comes in here, the old steel player, he was already stopped up there with them, two guys. This was about 11:30 at night, and ain't a soul on that street, black as pitch. So Harold had done got out of his car, he was over supposedly trying to find out and help them. Well, I pulled up there because I was worried about Harold. And so these two guys had said, hey, our car just runs about 2 or 3 miles, it stops, and then we take off, and 2 or 3 miles later, it stops again. Well, Harold was trying to figure out something for them, and so I talked to the guys. I felt uncomfortable when I talked to one of them. And so we said, Harold, you got it under control. We didn't want to leave him, but he just didn't want to leave. And so he said, I'm going to follow these guys in to Pensacola or Milton. And so we left, and we pulled into the rest area because we hadn't seen anybody. And we've driving slow. We haven't seen anybody pass us. So we came on to my house, still didn't see anybody. We went over to Harold's house. He wasn't home yet. So we went back to Holt. They were gone. We didn't see them anywhere. We looked. So Harold told me the next day, because it was like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning by then, we was trying to help him from getting killed or something. And he told me, I said, I'm worried about you when I finally found it. He said, yeah. He said, they started their car and it didn't quit until I got to the Milton exit. They just kept going. But up until that point, it had been dying every couple miles. You see what I'm saying? I believe they were out to harm somebody, rob somebody that night. But since we came along, now they've been identified by somebody else plus him. It was a different game. They would have had to done something to all of us because we couldn't identify the automobile. But that's why you don't want to help somebody. Call the cops is about the best thing you can do, okay? I hate to say it that way, but it's where we're going. Number seven, must be a good worker. You know, and I talked about this in op the other night. You know, the Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Now that means, of course, if you're able to work. Not if you're retired, not if you've got a health problem. But I know some people who are just out here, and all of you know some people who are just out on welfare, and they do not want a job. If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Now, be a good worker. You know, the quality assurance programs throughout the world, specifically here in America, when unions got a hold of everything, it kind of fallen to the wayside because you can't make me work because I'm part of a union. I'll just do what I want to do, and I'll just do so much. It's just like, now you're in the teaching or in education. As far as I'm concerned, the educational system's one of the worst it's ever been in America, really, as far as the teachers. You've got some great teachers out there, but they're very limited in who they are. I've got a friend of mine who teaches in California, and it's really rigid out there. And most of them now, this has been a few years ago since I talked to him, but I saw in California now where they don't even want you to get on to the student anymore. He can call you an MF, and you just sit him down over there. You don't expend him anymore. Did you know that? That is a true fact, because they feel like that kid, male or female, they sit there and cuss you out in your class, and if you expel him, what is going to happen to him? He don't have a parent at home. Not one. And what's going to happen? He's going to get out and be involved in gangs, and they feel like it's better for him to sit there and chastise and curse the teacher and cause all disruption than it is to send him and expel him for 2 or 3 days. It's society. You can see it going to tubes. Yes, Jim?
I watched that on the news last night. And they went further than the oral problems. They were beating teachers. They were attacking teachers.
Is that the one in California?
Yeah. They were actually attacking the
But teachers. They won't expel them.
But they don't want to expel them. They were beating up the teacher in the classroom.
Exactly. So, that's a person in distress.
I just don't understand why they don't have juvenile detention centers like they did, you know, back in the 70s. I remember when we'd actually minister in juvenile detention center as well as the women's jail. So I just don't understand why they're not, you know, some of these kids need to be locked up.
Really. Well, it boils down to this. Money. Money. You know, we as taxpayers, we don't want to take the money out of our pockets to pay enough because we pay enough taxes. It's the fraud that's involved in America that is such a big problem. We've got plenty of money coming in to make that happen. In Alabama, in Prattville, they do have what you're talking about. Dr. Ruckman, and I hate that it's him going up there. There's another Baptist church that goes up to Prattville. And every week I see that so many people raise their hand, they want to be saved. So, but they do teach that up there. I know John Sears' son, was involved in that. And it done him some good. It done him some good to go into the juvenile detention thing for about 30 days. He said, I ain't never going back. So undoubtedly he's cleaned his act up, got him a haircut, done the whole ball of wax. And so it really helped him. But nobody wants to help each other in this distress, but being a good worker as a teacher, you have incompetent people put in by the federal government that's supposed to teach your children. And like I said, I think it was last week in here with George, my nephew, his kid is in daycare 10 hours a day. And then when it gets old enough, it's in school 6 or 8 hours a day. The values that they learn in school is what they have. You're not giving your child any kind of upbringing whatsoever you may think you are. You may be working yourself to the bone, and a lot of people do this. I've been guilty of working myself so many hours, this is unreal. I don't even have, why Carol even hung around. I was gone from morning until about 12 o'clock at night, 7 days a week, for a long time. I just didn't know when to quit. But you may be providing food, shelter, nice home, car, insurance, you may name it. But what kind of values are you putting into your children? This is what I'm talking about. You can be a good worker, but not a good provider. And the provisions that I'm talking about is not material things. It's spiritual things. It's your values. But you got to get your values straight to begin with. So, but anyway, number 8. He must keep, now this is a very big deal. He must keep himself clean in thought, speech, action, and personal habits. Now, I hit this the other night pretty hard. Personal habits. People need to take a bath. People need to wear clean clothes. I don't care if they're nice clothes. You don't have to wear no tie. If you've got a t-shirt, make sure it's clean. And there's people walking around this world who are dirty and filthy, and they don't have to be. But that's what a good cowboy is, and that's what the Bible says about it. Cleanliness is next to godliness. It's just crazy. People don't want to do this. What about your speech? You ever say anything that you, especially whenever you, it's hard when you slam your finger in the door. It's hard to give glory to God in that moment, but you're supposed to. But the first thing that's going to jump out of your mouth probably is some kind of perversion. Something that you learned whenever you were unsaved. You would never dare say it now deliberately. But the old man, Brian Seitz was talking about coming through Atlanta and driving in that traffic. The old man raises his head. Instantly, it's just right out of your mouth. And you're an example to people. Didn't you want to say something?
Yeah, I did. Where we're kind of going with this is law and grace is really what I want to bring up. Is that how to be a good cowboy? Well, there's two different ways to be a good cowboy. It's kind of like Hell's Angels. And I mean this sincerely when I say this. Every group has, even the Muslims have a standard of what expectations and how to live your life, and I think this is what it's really all about. Really, is how we live our life, and we as saved individuals. And this is what he was bringing up today: was you can live by the law and be a good citizen, and you can be a good cowboy by following these examples because it was our Christian heritage. But the point of what I want to say is that how to be a good cowboy. Is it talks about that we how we live our life in Christ and our walk with Christ are two separate things, being made alive in Jesus Christ and our walk. And our walk is motivated by he was saying here, by the love of Christ, which is basically the Holy Spirit. God gives us a Holy Spirit. And that's what makes us want to do those things. But we've got people, like for example in the church, a lot of times they won't work. You know what I'm saying? And they don't want to, in other words, have these examples or whatever. And this is why we have laws in this country. In other words, and the law is what brings us to Christ. And like you said, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Well, we can help. We have the idea, well, maybe we ought to give this person grace. And he doesn't work. And we let him come to church and he does what he wants to do. Well, he needs to learn the hard way. That's what the law does. It knocks you upside the head. And you know what I'm trying to say? There's some hard knocks. And the balance between law and grace. And it looks like where we raise our kids. We've got to give them a little bit of the law first so that they come to the age of accountability. And all of a sudden they realize that they're a sinner. They have a responsibility. What we have a lot of today is irresponsibility. You follow what I'm saying? And it's not by the letter of the law, but it's from within inside. the reason I've I've become a responsible adult is because of the Holy Spirit,
which dwelleth in you.
Right. And I'm complete in Christ, and so therefore I should, not only live in Christ, but I should walk in Christ too. And so that's how you'd be a good cowboy or whatever you are, like with me, a good janitor or a good preacher or a good anything. And it's not because that I'm any good, it's because of Christ, and we give the glory back to Him. So, but we're kind of losing our way, I think. And I think this is really what you're trying to bring up, is that we don't have good cowboys anymore. We don't have good church members anymore. All of society is going downhill.
Exactly. See, it's just like...
And being honest with you,
our finances, I finally just said to Richard, do not loan any more money out of our finances.
Okay.
Unless it's a gift.
Right.
Because don't expect it back.
Don't expect it back.
Because that is...
They used to loan something out and
expect it back.
You.
But I finally just put my foot down and just, you are not. Because Richard is just, he may look kind of tough, but he's a softy.
Well, you're exactly right, though. You used to could trust people.
Yeah, you can.
Your word meant something. Let me finish. I want to tell you something. Keep yourself clean in thought, speech, because people are looking at you. Don't let your speech become a stumbling block to others. And it is. Your actions, your walk. And I know this. I know people right now that their families see them, even though they've trusted the Lord, they see them in their everyday walk, and they don't even believe they're saved because of their everyday walk. Even though they are. But that's what happens. Your personal habits got a lot to do with it. Let me move on. Number 9. The cowboy must respect women. Now, if you listen to rap music today, or even any kind of music, pretty much, they don't respect women anymore. No. When you hear a song that calls them whores and everything else, and the women just love that, I don't understand that. Why a woman would listen to that kind of music or go with that kind of a guy that sang that. But they're just draping all over these guys that put out that gangster rap, murder, and people buy it. You can hear it in your car stopped at a red light.
You can feel it in your car.
And you can feel it. Do what?
I said at the grocery store, you get out of your car and go in the store.
Run.
And they're playing it wide open.
Not enough respect for women. Not enough respect for parents. We all go through that, I think, most likely, that we may not out and out think it, but it's there. Like, them old fuddy-duddies, they just ain't with it. But as you gradually get older, you realize they're with it and you weren't. They knew. They done been through the school of hard knocks. They're trying to teach you something, but you didn't want to learn. And our nation's laws. What kind of country are we living in? I used to think it's the greatest country on the face of the earth, and I'm not so sure anymore. I give Uncle Sam 28 years to that benefit. Trish is still doing it. You give a bunch of it to it. So the thing of it is, but this nation's laws, and just look at the scandals we have, the IRS, the violation of privacies, the murders that's going on in Benghazi, all kind of things. What kind of a place are we living in? I'm telling you, if you're not there, if you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, anybody that's listening to my voice too, you best get ready, because that blessed hope's coming on. Yes?
It ain't going to get any better.
You can't get no better than the King James Bible.
It ain't going to get... What I'm saying is, this world is not going to get it.
Only worse.
According to the King James Bible.
And I believe that. It's only going to get worse.
Mm-hmm. We think it can't, but it's going to.
Oh, it's going to. It's going to. And last thing is, the cowboy is a patriot. A patriot. Loyalty to yourself, to the Lord and country, whenever it comes to have a loyalty toward the Lord, have you trusted the Lord as your personal Savior? Well, that's the first thing. And then you want to come into the knowledge of the truth, learning about doctrine and various different things so you can instruct other people. There's a lot of people who knows a lot of doctrine, true doctrine, which is a teaching or instruction, but they won't go out and teach others. They won't. They've got it for themselves. Some people are saved and could never care less about opening the Bible again. They got saved and that's as far as they're going to go. I made it. Finally made it. I ain't worried about it no more. Well, there's more to it than that. How can you be a patriot if you don't want to carry the message somewhere else? There's consequences on being a patriot. Sometimes it's death. Sometimes it's ridicule. But that's what you are. What, like I started out with Paul. Man, that guy was a patriot. What did he say? He said, I fought the fight. I ran a good course. Now the end is about here is a paraphrase of it. And he told Timothy, he says, I want you to take what you, no matter how your age is, and he was a younger guy, I've taught you this. You saw me by example. Now, you know what I believed, and you know who I believed in, and you take it to the world. And yes, you're going to catch H-E-double-L with it too, okay? But that's just part of it. We're all going to suffer in Christ. But the big thing is, this country is in dire straits. We're in dire straits, but that blessed hope, which is the rapture, is definitely going to come. And I believe, and I hope it's soon. You see people in anguish and dying, and they've always died, but I'm telling you, the saints, it's going to get rough for us. So the only thing you can do is put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He completed now at Calvary. He just didn't start it and walk away from it. He completed it. It's called the simplicity of Christ, that He was crucified, that He was buried and resurrected from the dead. I'm going to show you this one thing. If I can do it, I don't know if I can. You know, we talk about this body. Christ was crucified. Y'all thought I was going to sneak out of here without it. Buried, resurrected from the dead for your justification. You know, we've talked about it being a hid thing. People have got it in their minds here, and it's real. But that doesn't get the job done. It's a heart thing, not a head thing. Yes?
No, I say this, and I think in order to really be effective, is that, you know, people hear the gospel and yet they never really recognize the fact that they're a wretch. In other words, Paul made a statement. He said that, you know, number one, that you're that the whole world will become guilty before God. And even though that you're such a filthy, rotten, hell-deserving sinner, and Christ did this, but they have to get lost first. And so that's where the work of the law comes in. This is what I'm trying to say, is that, you know, I have the balance between the two, of law and grace, and in our presentation of that. We don't want to run them off totally. You know, and say, look, I mean, you sorry, no good, worthless piece of garbage. You don't work. And no, I'm not going to give you a dime. And walk off. You know, if I like said about the beggars on the street, that's another problem we have. We get 10 billion different beggars. We got all these state programs, giveaway stuff. And they just look at this thing right here like, well, yeah. Just like one lady I was talking to just the other day, she was just saying, well, I just want to live with a guy, you know. And so and that was the whole idea, was not giving her the gospel and whatever. So I said, great, you should just accept the way I live. Well, no. There is a love letter, you've got to get lost first before, you follow what I'm saying?
I do, yeah.
There's got to be a balance some kind of way. I don't know how somehow or other, I've got to do a better job talking to people in presentation. And,
well,
you've got to get under conviction.
Go over to Titus, would you? and we're going to run this through. Titus chapter 3. I think I want to start verse 7. Well, actually, I think I'm going to start in verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. That just automatically tells. But according to His mercy, He saved us. It's His mercy, Jesus Christ's mercy. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly. It's His washing, and it's His renewing, that's the renewing of Jesus Christ. In other words, He was born again, abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, in other words, we cleared of all our sins, our sins were forgiven in AD 33, justified by His grace, unmerited favor, nothing you could do, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So we are heirs, and we know from Romans chapter 8, around 14, 15, and 16, we're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called sons of God. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And we know that Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we're created unto good works. Has not one thing to do with our salvation. If you don't work at all, you're still sealed until the day of redemption. Has nothing to do with it. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. Avoid that about the law. Law has nothing to do with you. For they are unprofitable and vain. And what the Lord hates is pride and vanity. And here's where I really had started. A man that is a heretic. And what is a heretic? Somebody that's following a false doctrine. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition. Reject. Move on to somebody that will listen. Give them to. Move on. It's just like I've told you this before. Whenever I was a recruiter for the Air Force Reserve, I had to talk to X number of people. I had a quota per month. And my job was to explain it, not to convince people. I never convinced anybody, I don't believe. I explained it. They convinced themselves. Man, that's a great program. And you know what? This program in here is so great. What kind of program are we talking about? We're talking about a program of salvation that God came up with Himself by reconciling us when we were separated in the garden, by reconciling us back together with Him so we can have communion and fellowship now with God the Father through the work and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. The finished cross work of Christ. Now, you tell somebody that twice. Move on to somebody that's going to believe. Because, as I said, I didn't convince it. In my opinion, I didn't convince anybody to join the Air Force Reserve. But the Holy Spirit does the convincing of the person that you're talking to. That's what He does. He's convincing that individual that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And if that person doesn't get it, your obligation is two admonitions. Move on, because there's somebody else that God wants saved that's left up to you to talk to. But that's why He just says, don't waste your time. That's really what He's talking about. Don't waste your time on somebody that's never going to hear, never going to listen. Give them twice. Two admonitions and move on. Now, this is true with people in various different religions. I'm not talking about just somebody that's unsaved out here. I'm talking about somebody that maybe goes to the church you and I were discussing earlier.
Yeah,
someone that if they're lost, give them two admonitions, show them the truth out of the Scriptures, and move on because the Lord's got more important work for you to do. And you can say, well, how can it be more important? I'm here to teach the truth to this individual. No, you're not. You're there to give them two admonitions in the truth You could sit there until hell froze over and they still not get it, and you've wasted all of God's time and your time. Yes.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, this is what we're going, like, in Faith Baptism. That was what this was all about. Those guys were striving to keep the law.
For rewards.
Yeah. But, and so that's what that was all about. Striving's about the law. And it's for unprofitable and vain.
That's right. And that's what you should tell them.
But their motivation was that they wanted to live a good, clean life because they're seeing the degeneration of things too. And this is their way of doing it. But that's the wrong way to do it. In other words, the law is on the front end. It's for lost people. And it's for, like, the children until the time they get to be accountable.
But there was only one who lived a good, clean life.
And that was Jesus. Yeah.
It's just like Dave said, hey, which one of you have overcome that yet?
Yeah, so in other words, we need to be patient. But
and then, on top of that, how many has overcome it after you've trusted the Lord in the flesh? You ain't overcome sin in the flesh. You're still sinning.
I'm going to.
I hope I'm not doing it right here in front of you, but the fact of it is, I'm going to again if I live long enough.
So I guess really what we're really saying is our society is going downhill is what we're facing. And so we just need to adjust with it, and I mean, it's not to be comfortable in that situation.
No, here's what it is, Richard.
Sin, where sin is abound, grace is that much more abound.
Grace did much more abound in Romans 5:20. So the thing of it is, you can't change society.
No.
You can't pass a law to cause me to love someone of color. Or you can't pass a law for various different reasons. That's not going to make me. It's the love of God that changes you from the inside.
That's right.
And yes, Jim?
Another thing, though, you were just saying, though, you dealt with a guy twice. And you shared, you tried to bring this man to a knowledge of Christ. You tried it twice, and he didn't listen.
Right.
Go on to the next one. But one planet, someone else comes along and water it.
Exactly. And God gave it the increase.
It's God that gives the increase. So what you did is not
in vain.
In vain. You didn't do anything that was in vain. You did what you felt you needed to do to help this man come to the knowledge, saving knowledge of Christ. So you didn't do anything wrong, and God's not disappointed with what you did. You did the right thing. And now, but don't think that this guy may not ever come.
Exactly, but with me, he's not going.
I think all the ones that planted with me.
Yeah.
And I didn't want anything to do with it. You say, away from me, pal. I don't want anything to do with you.
Well, but you're exactly right. It does not make, see, the Word of God will not come back void. Even though the Bible says in Titus chapter 3 there to give them two admonitions and say you do and I do and they don't trust the Lord. We move on. Somebody else, you may come behind me, or I may come behind you, and plant another, or water it, basically is what you're doing. But it's God given them. That person may be saved, but you may not see it. Now, I like to use Brother Moore as an example. You could use me or anybody in here, but use Brother Moore. There's so many people that he talked to that didn't trust the Lord then. But you don't know, he will never know until he gets to the judgment seat of Christ, exactly how effective his ministry was. Just because he asked this lady in a restaurant, are you saved? And she said, what do you mean? I've seen befuzzled looks on their faces. What he's talking about? They didn't say it verbally, but I could see it in their face. They didn't know what saved was. And then finally, they caught on and they said, up there. What they were trying to say is, I'm saved by God up there, the man. Well, no. So he told them the gospel. They didn't say, I trust the Lord right now. But maybe later on, by him planting that seed, just like we can do, that they're going to trust. And it's going to happen that way. Just think of the people that you've talked to, Richard and Bob. All of us in here have mentioned the salvation message to somebody, the simplicity of the cross. They didn't jump up and say, I trust the Lord right now. Just like the conference we had, we didn't have anybody come up and say, I just trusted the Lord. But somebody was there. Yes, Bob?
One man did. T-Bird.
Yes, in here. Oh, yeah. T-Bird did. No doubt about it.
We haven't heard from him lately, have we?
He was in Birmingham, the last accounts I heard of him. I don't know where he's at. Maybe I could even be wrong about that, but he was going back to Birmingham. I don't know. He had a sister locally. But what I'm saying is, give them two admonitions. We as human beings, we want to control the situation more than that. We do. We want to see that person saved right now.
Now, today.
We know how bad hell is, and all of a sudden, you know, we don't want to see that person walking out of here lost. But that's not your job.
No.
We try, we teach, and let the Holy Spirit give the increase. God give it the increase. Anyway, I thank you for coming out. Let's eat.